In this episode, we explore humanity's first family tree. You'll see that two distinct branches emerge, one rooted in defiance and another in devotion. Cain's lineage chose independence from God, culminating in rebellion and violence. Meanwhile, Seth's line sought to draw closer to God, starting a legacy of worship and dependence on Him. Keep listening for insights that reach across time from Genesis to today.
Well, in Genesis chapters 4 and 5, the family tree of humanity is beginning to develop into two separate branches. And to this day, there are these same two branches of people, so to speak, people who obey God and people who defy God, people who follow God's plan and people who choose their own plan. And here in Genesis, we find the origin of these two branches. One descends from Cain, and the other descends from Seth. After Cain killed his younger brother Abel, Cain was confronted by God for his sin, and Genesis chapter 4 and verse 15 tells us that God put a mark of some sort on Cain to protect him from being murdered himself. We're not told, by the way, what that mark was, but in God's mercy, Cain was allowed to stay alive. Now, the trouble is, as verse 16 says, Cain decides to live apart from God's presence. And now we're told here in verse 17 that Cain takes a wife. Now, people are quick to ask me where Cain got his wife. Well, the quick answer is that Cain either married his sister or another close relative born to one of his sisters or brothers. You see, Genesis chapter 5 and verse 4 tells us that Adam and Eve had many sons and daughters besides Cain and Abel. Now, keep in mind that the absence of genetic diseases in this early post-creation world made the marriages of close relatives much safer from disabilities. Abraham will marry his half-sister, Genesis 20. Isaac will marry the daughter of his cousin, Genesis 24. Jacob will marry two of his cousins, Leah and Rachel, Genesis 29. It won't be until Moses delivers the law some 2,000 years later that God will forbid the marriage of close relatives. Now, maybe you're wondering how many sisters or cousins Cain had to choose from. Well, remember, in these early years, people lived very long lives. In fact, Genesis 5, verse 3 tells us Adam and Eve have a baby when Adam is 130 years old. You know, let me tell you, we had our last child when I was in my late 30s, and I didn't have any energy back then. I can't imagine being 130. Well, if couples have children decades into their marriages, the original family tree would have been literally producing thousands of brothers and sisters and cousins and nephews and nieces and on and on. By the way, when the world's population is destroyed later in the great flood in the Genesis account, all that's left are Noah and his wife and their three sons and their wives. And God tells them to repopulate the earth. Well, who are available for Noah's grandchildren to marry? Brothers and sisters, and a whole lot of cousins. So why did the law of Moses forbid the practice of marrying close relatives? Well, it was primarily for physical safety. We now know the genetic mutations that are shared by both parents create physical deformity and illness, literally a weakening of the gene pool, so to speak. Genetic scientists are alarmed by the increasing number of defects growing within the gene pool today. Beloved, when the Bible says mankind will wax worse and worse, as the old King James puts it in 2 Timothy 3:13, I don't think that's just moral digression. I believe it includes moral, mental, physical, and even genetic digression growing worse and worse. Now, back here in Genesis chapter 4, the family line of Cain is listed for us, and at any point, it could have begun to follow after God. God doesn't put a time limit on his mercy, but Cain and his family line will continue to choose to live apart from God. Cain now has a son here in verse 17, and he names him Enoch. Now, this isn't the godly Enoch of chapter 5. We're going to get to him later. But Cain's son, Enoch, grows up and then has his own son and names him Irad, which means wild donkey. Well, this wild, stubborn donkey of a man grows up and has a son and names him Mehuyael, meaning God is combative. In other words, I am at war with God. Then he grows up and has a son named Lamech, which means overthrower, and Lamech grows up to be a proud, cruel man. In verse 19, we're told he becomes the first person mentioned in the Bible as becoming a polygamist. He takes two wives. And this is a practice, by the way, that's going to bring jealousy and division and heartache into the lives of many families. As somebody will say, well, you know, but King David and Solomon and others took multiple wives. David is called a man after God's own heart. Well, let me tell you, just because we seek after God doesn't mean we'll never sin against God. Solomon and David and every other believer who disobeyed God's original design for marriage, they're going to end up paying a high price for their sinful choices, including polygamy. Now, back here in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 25, all the way through chapter 5 and verse 32, we're given this second branch of Adam's descendants. This is the godly line of Seth. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 25, we read, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son, and called his name Seth, for she said, 'God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel.'" Now, the name Seth means compensation or appointed. And you know, Eve here feels compensated for the loss of Abel, who was murdered by his older brother Cain. But she also believes Seth is appointed by God for something special. And indeed he is. In fact, through the influence of Seth, we're told here in verse 26, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. That is, they begin to organize together in some fashion to worship God. Now, the line of Seth is recorded down through the middle of chapter 5, where we're introduced to a rather unusual individual. Verse 21 tells us, "When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah." So we're told here that at the age of 65, you know, when most people are thinking of retiring, Enoch is thinking about starting a family, and he and his wife named their first child Methuselah. His name has prophetic significance. In fact, it refers to coming judgment. Methuselah's birth is going to change Enoch's life. In fact, we're told here in verse 22 that Enoch begins walking with God after his son is born. Maybe you've got a similar testimony. Maybe the birth of your child made you get right with God. The New Testament letter of Jude tells us that Enoch begins preaching a warning to everyone that judgment from God is coming. Now, evidently, we're not told, but Enoch has been given revelation from God that the death of his son Methuselah will trigger God's judgment. And by the way, Methuselah will live longer than any other human being has ever lived. He's going to live 969 years, we're told here in verse 27, which is another way of showing that God is slow to judge. His mercy is long-suffering. Well, verse 25 tells us Methuselah grows up, and he has a son named Lamech. Lamech grew up and had a son named Noah. Biblical history reveals that the year Methuselah died, his grandson Noah finished building the ark, and what happened? The judgment of God came, a global flood, just as God promised. God's promises always come true. And by the way, God has also promised a final judgment in the future. 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us it will not be by water, but by fire. Well, did the people listen to Enoch as he preached all those years? Did they grow nervous as they watched Methuselah get older and older? Is the world listening to God's warning today? Well, I'm not really wondering about the world. I'm curious about you. Are you listening to the Word of God today? You know, one day God's mercy will end. Safety is found only in His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, my friend, you can be saved from eternal judgment by trusting in Jesus Christ and asking Him to become your personal Lord, your Savior. That'll put you in God's family tree of the redeemed forever, safe and secure as a child of God. But we're going to stop here. Until next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Today's message is called The Original Family Tree. To learn more about us, I invite you to visit wisdomonline.org. Our website is home to Stephen's entire Bible teaching ministry, including hundreds of sermons and daily broadcasts. Each day's broadcast is posted right on the homepage, so if you miss a lesson, you can easily catch up. You can also navigate through previous broadcasts if you want to revisit older teachings. This way, you'll never miss a message. Stephen's sermons, which span over four decades, are also available on the site. They're organized by Book of the Bible, making it easy to find a specific study. Whether you want to listen to a sermon or read the manuscript, you'll find everything you need right there. And best of all, everything is free. You can access Stephen's teaching library and daily broadcasts anytime at wisdomonline.org. Be sure and come back next time for another leg of our wisdom journey through the Bible.